Love that piano playing, don't you? Our children are going to go to children's worship at this time. Great number of kids this morning. All right. Good to see them out today. Take your Bibles as we look at our text verse of chapter 145 of Psalm. Psalm 145. We're going to read 10 verses. So I'm going to invite you. You can come up here. Want to come stand next to the preacher, I guess, right? Wow. Feel privileged. Psalm 145. Let's all stand this morning, okay? The psalmist David writes, beginning in verse 1, he says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, that is, the power and awesome acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, that is, God's abundant goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious, and he's merciful. Gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great of mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. And that's what we're here to do today, right? Let's bless the Lord by praying. God, we thank you for your privilege that you've given all of us to be here. Thank you for a place to worship, a place of comfort, a place, Lord, where we can, Lord, draw that peace that passes all understanding. Through the preaching, teaching of your word, through the singing, together. And Lord, I pray that we'll all leave here in a little bit with our hearts uplifted, encouraged, because we came. And Lord, as always, if there's one in the sound of our voice today that is unsaved, I pray they'll open their heart up to you to be saved today before it's eternally too late. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy to us. Bless now in the message that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before we have the message, John's going to come and sing for us. You come right on, brother.
Thank you, Brother John. Back to our text, Psalm 145. We started several weeks ago a series of messages on knowing God. And obviously, it's important for us to know God better. Now, I've been saved since I was 11 years old. And I'm still, and now I'm 53. And I still feel like I just don't know what I need to know about God. I'm still learning. You're still learning. It's important for us to know God better, especially as we live this Christian life. There's a lot of things about God that every day, if we're open to it, we can learn. Now, we have looked at things like knowing God better in the way He works and His attributes, knowing God better in the way He speaks to us. And then last week, knowing the God who redeems. Today I want to speak to you on the subject of knowing God and His goodness, something that obviously we need to share with not only our children, our grandchildren, but yet to those we work with, those that we have the opportunity to live around, our neighbors, and the world in general needs to know the goodness of God, don't they? The psalmist of David in Psalm 145, actually he concludes, King David concludes Psalms with five chapters of praise. Some had called these the Hallelujah Psalms, but there's a Psalms of praise and actually the praise and celebration that he closes with. And he starts in Psalm 145. With the admonition to give God the praise. He says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. So really, he's inviting all of us to celebrate the God that we all serve by giving him praise, because he is the King of eternity. And by celebrating who God is, we celebrate not only who he is, but we celebrate what God has done. We celebrate what God has promised. And we could go on and on with that. But I want you to look down in verse 9, as really we might call this our text verse today. The psalmist says, the Lord is good to all. Let's pause there. Do you agree with that? The Lord is good to all. And then he goes on to say, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So the Lord is good to all. Not just folks who are in church today, but when you think of that word all, that's any and everybody God is good to. He's good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. There's a story that I read, and it's a true story. This took place at Hannibal LaGrange College back in 2002. By the way, that's in Missouri. Now, it was the day for final exams. How many of you ever took a final exam, maybe in college or high school? The pressure's on, right? And so it's the day for final exams, and everybody in the room was doing their last-minute cramming. I remember that. And then the professor walks in, enters the room. He takes a few minutes to review with the class. And most of it was familiar with everybody, but there were some things that no one remembered ever hearing. So the professor responded with what sends cold chills up every student's spine. And he said this, "This is in your textbook, and you are responsible for the content on this exam." I always hated to hear that. So the time came for the test. He gave the word, and every student took up their pen and turned over their test. And as each student looked at their test, they found that every blank was completed for them. Even their names were filled in. On the bottom of the last page of every test was this note from the professor. The professor says, "All the answers on your test are correct. You will receive an A on the final exam. The reason you passed the test is because the creator of the test took it for you. All the work that you did in preparation for this test did not help you get the A." Now, that never happened to me, I will say, although I wished it would have on a few tests. But there's some similarities. I want to bring this together, bring it together in the way of the what I have to speak on today. Or we might ask, are there similarities? Which I believe they are. You see, payment has nothing to do with the amount of work that has been done. It was made on the basis of the goodness and grace of the one who made the payment. Now, there isn't a single person in this room who has not experienced the goodness of God. Would you agree with that? We don't deserve it. We didn't do anything to earn it. One truth that certainly must be declared is that God's good all the time. And that illustration that I gave you and this professor, really, you know, Christ has already went and he paid the price for every single one of us. No student earned that A because of the work that they did. Those students received that A from the Creator who willingly gave them something they didn't deserve. Some maybe didn't deserve, but yet they willingly gave. You know, as we compare the two, there's a lot that we receive by the goodness of God that we don't deserve. But yet, thank God for His goodness, and God is good all the time. I'm reminded of 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 34, where it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." And I like what Psalm 100 in verses 4 and 5 says. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Why? Because God is good. If you recall the time when Moses was on the mountaintop, Mount Sinai, if you recall, he went there to receive the Ten Commandments over in Exodus chapter 33. And as Moses was there, God appeared to Moses, but yet Moses was not allowed to look upon God. But Moses, and just paraphrasing what took place in chapter 33 and chapter 34, what Moses, when he came off the mountainside in chapter 34, and the people began to see Moses there in verse 29, they noticed that Moses' face shined. Why? Because he had been in the presence of God. He had seen the glory of God. And really, what really God showed Moses, I don't know if it was a period of time or whatever took place, but what God showed Moses that stood out more than anything was the fact that God showed him his goodness. And, you know, any time that we see the goodness of God, then obviously we're going to shine the way God would have us to shine. I want to speak to you on this subject today of knowing God and knowing his goodness. And first of all, let's jump in here and give you some things to look at. First of all, I want to see God's goodness as it's defined. As we might define it today, and of course as Scripture defines it, Psalm 119 verse 68 says, Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes, David says. He says, Thou art good and doest good. Then he says, Teach me your statutes. That is, David, he would often appeal to the character of God. David wanted to know God better. David wanted to know the goodness of God. And David wanted to know, all the things that really stood out about God that maybe could be a part of his life. And one of the things that obviously David was pointing out was the character of God. You see, as you define God's goodness, you would have to define it in the way of God's character. You see, God is good. He's by nature, God is good. Because you see, it is his attribute. He is good in and of himself. You see, for us to be good, it's an added quality. We seek to be good. But you see, God doesn't have to seek to be good because God is simply good all the time. I know that's basic, that's simple, and we understand that. We know that. Even a child could tell you, yeah, God is good. Why is God good? Because of his character. Now, we have to work at being good, but God didn't have to work at being good because God was never bad. There are those today that would like to put God in a category of being bad when bad things happen sometimes to them in our lives. But you listen, when bad things happen in life, that's just a part of life. That's the best way I can sum it up. There are going to be bad things happen to good people and bad people. And it seems like sometimes there's more bad that happens to good people than bad people. But listen, that doesn't mean that God is any less good because God's character is good. And another way to define God's goodness is his actions are good. God's actions are good. You see, God's goodness concentrates on what he does. The Bible is filled with descriptions that point to his kindness, that his mercy and his steadfast love, his generosity. We've seen some of that. We've read some of that this morning. Think on this. When the Lord thinks about us, you know what God thinks? God thinks good thoughts about us. Preacher, I've got some bad things in my life. Well, yeah, we all do. But when God thinks about us, he thinks good thoughts. You know, sometimes when we think about people, you can name a name of this or that person, you know, often their actions come to mind, don't we? Don't they? Of whether they're good or whether they're bad. But when God thinks about us, God doesn't all of a sudden just think something bad. You know, we might like to think that, but God, that's not the way God works. That's not the way he acts. You see, when the Lord thinks about us, he thinks good thoughts. Imagine this. With all of our baggage that we often carry and all of our failures, God still wants to do good for us. Now, I'm going to tell you what we've even seen this past week. If God wanted to cut off the air that we breathe, God could do that just in that amount of time. You know, I love Psalm 150 where it's, let everything that hath breath, what? Praise the Lord. But you know what? Thank God for His goodness that He doesn't choose to react the way that sometimes... Now, when I heard some news this week that I didn't like, immediately my thoughts went to, boy, isn't this person bad or that person bad or whatever. You know, that's just the way we act sometimes. But God doesn't act that way. Because if God acted that way, listen, we wouldn't be alive today. God doesn't act the way that we are, that we sometimes would expect. You see, in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, God said this concerning the children of Israel. He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God knows that, listen, all about us, and God wants us to have every person, He wants to give an opportunity, to look to Him for that grace and mercy that He offers to all of us. You see, you know, God wants to do good for us. Just Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." God doesn't need our money. That's not what He's asking. He's not begging for our money. He's not saying, "Hey, I need it." But God says, this is an avenue of blessing, of me doing good, of showing my goodness. But you've got to learn to trust me sometimes with the little things. In this case, a tithe, a tenth. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His" what? "Purpose." So, listen, we know that God's goodness is defined, we might say, in two ways. One, His character, and His actions. The second thing I'd like to point out this morning is the fact that God revealed His goodness to us. In Psalm 145, we see that laid out here as we've read part of this passage. But in particular, look down, if you would, 8 and 9. It says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy," that is loving kindness. "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Now, how do we see God's goodness revealed here? Well, we see it revealed through natural blessings that come our way. God reveals His goodness to us through natural blessings. And by the way, who is included in the word "all" in verse 9? Who is included there? Who? We are. Everyone. Now, some might put in the category only the good people. Who are they? I mean, when you define it that way. Now, listen. Now, you could, to define good people, you'd almost have to categorize that, right? What goodness is. But listen, thank God He didn't categorize us. He sees us all the same way. And that's why we see this word "all" here. Well, we're included in that. Everyone. And by the way, we're blessed of God. God reveals His goodness through us through natural blessings of that comes our way. And by the way, in case we miss that, He repeats the idea a bit later. Look in Psalm 145 and down in verses 14 and 15. It says, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and riseth up all those that be bowed down. The Lord, the eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat." The word "meat" means their food in due season. "Thou openest Thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." In other words, God's common grace is offered to all of humanity. There are people that are being fed today that may not deserve God's food. And just the way that they treat God or the way they live. And that may include us sometimes. Because you know what? We are all guilty at times of mistreating God and the way that we live, the way that we act. So thank God for His goodness. You know that God is good to all. That word "all." Every place we look, we see God's goodness, don't we? Every place we look. God has blessed us in every imaginable way. You see, we can find His goodness everywhere if we'll just take time to look. You know, it is. I know we live in some difficult times and difficult days, but listen, God's goodness is demonstrated everywhere that we go. You know, you have neighbors that you see that God is blessed, but yet you look at your own self and you walk around and just, if you have a home, a roof over your head, you're blessed. I went to Guatemala several years ago, and I noticed that some of these people, their roof over their head was just a piece of cardboard that they lived in on the side of a hill. Now, you know, thank God for the blessings. Now, those people that live that way, do they experience the goodness of God? They sure do. When I went there and to preach in some of those churches, listen, they were not griping and complaining about living in a cardboard box. Many of them were thankful they had a good meal to eat, or they had something that they had to drink or whatever. Listen, God's goodness is demonstrated everywhere around this world. And sometimes we look at it in materialistic things. And, you know, if I have this or I have that, then I'm really blessed. But you know what? We have to be careful, don't we, that we don't put God in a category of goodness based on what we often have or don't have. But we look around, God's goodness is demonstrated not just in America, but across this great world that we live in. God revealed His goodness to us in natural blessings. God, in Psalm 107, God revealed His goodness to us through kind interventions. Look over with me, if you would, a few places we'll read in Psalm 107. The psalmist says, "Oh, give thanks," in verse 1, "Go give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy," that is, His loving kindness, "endureth for how long? Forever," that is, "for everlasting." So God comes to the need of those who are searching for satisfaction for the soul. There are people today that God intervenes. You know, we pray for, that God would intervene. And God sometimes shows His goodness through interventions, because God uses us to be that source of prayer warriors. God comes to the need of those who are searching. I've said this, many of us, and I know I am, I'm a product of being a child of the King, a child of God, because somebody intervened on my behalf. In other words, somebody prayed that I would come to know Jesus. And I always credit my great-grandmother for that. You know, many of you are here today because somebody prayed for you to be saved. God used somebody to intervene on your behalf. In other words, God comes to the need of those who are searching. And sometimes God will use other folks like that are already saved or already have been blessed of God to be that resource. God breaks the chains of sin by intervention. And He turns their night into day. And God may have done that for your life. Maybe you were at one time, you were all wrapped up in sin and you were living a lifestyle or doing things that is obviously displeasing to God, but God came to you the time you needed Him the most. How? Through His kind interventions. All of this is laid out here in Psalm 107. God intervenes in the lives of foolish people. Yes, God intervenes in the lives of foolish people when they cry to the Lord. Rebellious people, in Psalm 107 verse 17 says, "Fools, because of their transgressions," that is their rebellious ways, "and because of their iniquities are afflicted, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat," or that is food, "and they draw nigh unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions," or their distresses. Listen, just because of what we may sometimes see taking place in our country doesn't mean that God's not still in control. Those that, listen, one day that may be away from God and have turned their back on God could cry out to God in seeking God's goodness and His mercy and His loving kindness, like many of us have had to do. And you know what? Thank God He doesn't turn a deaf ear. Because of His goodness, He intervenes. God intervenes in the lives of foolishness. Now, about you, but I've done some foolish things in my life over the years, haven't you? I mean, maybe not anything that's going to be headlines in the news, but yet I've done some things that that maybe as a kid growing up or teenager or whatever, sometimes as an adult thinking, boy, if I could take those words back or whatever, or just some foolish things that sometimes we do, but God intervenes even in our foolishness. And then you know what? God intervenes when He shows His kindness, His goodness to us, sometimes just to calm the storms of calamity that takes place in our life. You know, when we call out to Him, when those storms come, and they're going to come, some of you are going to face some things maybe this year that you thought you'd never face. Or some of you may have faced some things in the past. You read headlines of things. How do these people make it through? Well, God has a way to come in the times of calamity to calm the storms because of His kind of intervention, God's goodness. And then we see that God revealed His goodness to us through not only natural blessings, not only kind interventions, but God revealed His goodness to us in the manner that we can all look to heaven and thank God for, and that is His Son Jesus. You see, through His Son Jesus, He took upon Himself the judgment that our sins deserve. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth. That word commendeth means that God proved His Lord love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God's goodness flowed to us in the substitution of His only begotten Son to go in our place on the cross. I'm not going to get to heaven. You're not going to get to heaven because I earned my way there. No one's going to get to the pearly gates one day and said, Lord, you got to let me in. I was a good person. I went to Fountain City Baptist Church most of my life. I sang in the choir. I taught Sunday school. And all of that may impress you, but that doesn't necessarily impress God to the point to say, I have a right to get into heaven. No, listen. Much like that professor, God already has paved the way. He made the payment. He paid it in full. There's nothing that we do deserve it. But God, that's because God is good. Jesus is the one that reveals God's goodness. And when Jesus opened up His arms on that cross freely, and He died in your place and mine, He was demonstrating the goodness and the kindness and the mercy of Almighty God. You see, He includes many other things in the gift of Himself. In Romans 8:32, it says that He spared not His own Son, but He delivered it up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? In other words, God has already shown His goodness toward us in the greatest way possible. And all the other things to help us live a godly life are included in that gift. All the other things. You see, what better gift could we have today than salvation when you think about it? But yet, not only does God give us the gift of salvation through His Son Jesus, but there are other blessings that come along with that. By being a child of the King. You see, Jesus opens God's goodness toward us in many ways, doesn't He? When you think about Jesus. That name that is not popular in our society today. But it ought to be something that it ought to be something that we're proud of to promote. Because in the name of Jesus, we are given and shown God's goodness. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 says, for all the promises of God are, what does it say, are in Him. Speaking of Jesus. In other words, you want to see the promises of God, look to Jesus. All the promises of God are in Him, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. That means that all the good and perfect gifts of God come to us through our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's an important note today. Where is your relationship today with Jesus? You see, if you want to experience God's goodness, there needs to be a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And you know, you may have a relationship with the Lord in the fact that, yeah, you have trusted Him at one point in time in your life, but yet, have you built on that relationship? Do you know Him in that personal, real way? Because you see, when the bad times come, are we going to turn our backs on God? Are we going to question God's goodness? No. And listen, we live in some bad times. We've seen some difficult things. But that doesn't mean that God is not still demonstrating His goodness. He does. If we want to understand and appreciate the goodness of God to us, then you know what? It has to begin and it has to end in Jesus. Well, we need to start our day with the Lord. We need to end our day with the Lord. You know, and it continues to move about all throughout the day. You see that we have a relationship with Jesus. It's not just when it's convenient on Sunday morning when we come to church to sing God's praise because everybody else is doing it. But that relationship with Lord Jesus, listen, it really needs to continue on when we leave this place, doesn't it? If we're going to appreciate the goodness of God. God revealed His goodness to us through natural blessings, through kind interventions, and ultimately through Jesus. And we close with this last point, and then it puts us in a position where we have to respond almost. And that is, what is our response to God's goodness? What's our response to God's goodness? What should we do? Well, I would say that the Bible teaches that we should repent of unbelief and ingratitude. We should repent of unbelief and ingratitude. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 says, Paul says, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing the goodness of God leadeth to thee to repentance?" Paul is saying here, basically, do you think that all of these blessings that you enjoy come because you're just some maybe incredible, nice person that's on God's special list? No. Because you see, church, God's goodness was meant to lead us to Him. And again, the way that we change our world around is not to get mad and angry and become evil-minded, thinking that way, because you know what? That's what the devil wants us to do. The devil wants us to get mad about what took place this week. And you know what? I got a little mad for a while, and I'm still bothered by things. But you know what? I know this. If I'm going to be the servant of God, if you're going to be the servant of God, I can't stay mad. I mean, the devil would like for us to crawl in our corner and just pout. Because this is not supposed to happen to America. This is not supposed to happen to Christians. And the devil would like for us to throw up our hands and give up and say, "Well, it's over with now. Come on, Jesus." Now, I've said that this way. "Lord, just come on back." But it hadn't happened yet. What are we to do? We're to demonstrate God's goodness. You know, I guess what irritates the devil more than anything is that when we have bad things to happen in our life, rather than turn on God, we learn to give God the glory. We learn to accept the fact that, you know, God is still a good God. You know, going through life receiving what He has been given us, you know, it's like saying, "God, I had all this coming. I deserve this. So keep it coming." You know, in other words, you know, I'm not supposed to have bad things. I'm supposed to have all the good things. So keep it coming, God. We want the gifts, but we don't want the giver. We want the gifts. In other words, we want all the blessings that God can pour on us, but I'm not sure that I want to be faithful in church. I'm not sure that I want to be faithful in reading God's Bible on a daily basis. I'm not sure that I want to be really committed. I want the gifts. Keep pouring them my way, God, but not sure if I want to be committed. You know, I read this week, and somebody posted this, I think, on social media somewhere. It really hit me. Such a powerful statement. It says the question isn't why would a loving God send people to hell, but why would anyone choose hell over a loving God? The question isn't why would a loving God send people to hell, but why would anyone choose hell over a loving God? God doesn't send people to hell. People that die and go to hell go there because they chose to go by rejecting the free gift that God offers. You see, church, our ingratitude and our greed for what God can do for us while yet rejecting Him is the heights of sin, isn't it, when you think of it? God's goodness. What's our response? Well, our response should be to repent. If there's areas in our life that we need to repent of, thank God that we can. We can repent. And you know, ingratitude. We've all tried to teach our kids to say thank you for the blessings, thank you for the gifts or whatever, you know. And when they don't show gratitude, you know, that bothers mom and dad sometimes, yeah. Why? Because there's a sacrifice that's been paid. Well, God looks at it in a similar fashion. God gave the ultimate sacrifice for us. And yet, we're not willing to receive Him. Now, you know, that's our choice. But yet, to return it away shows ingratitude. The next response should be, we need to rest in God's goodness when adversity comes. All right, is adversity going to come? It will. God says we need to rest in His goodness. Because you see, we live in a world where, as I said earlier, where bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. And sometimes our circumstances cause us to question how good God is. But sometimes God's plan for us means going through trials. It is. Sometimes God's plan for us is to have experience loss or heartache and sadly sometimes even death. But we need to understand that God is still there regardless of the circumstances, that God has great goodness stored up for us. I want you to look with me one last passage in Psalm 31. Psalm 31 and two verses of Scripture. Psalm 31 in verses 19 and 20, the psalmist David writes again, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." Oh, listen, God has His goodness stored up for all of us. But we need to rest in His goodness. And then the third and final thing here, our response should be to walk by faith. You know, isn't that always the case? Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't even know we'll be alive to walk out of this building. So what do? We walk by faith. We did that when we came in. We sat down in the pew, believing it's going to hold us up. I don't know about this first pew down here. But listen. Everything that we do in life is really a walk of faith. But to trust God is something that should be a matter of practice daily. When we believe that God is good all the time, do we? Do we believe that? Then it gives us a reason to step out by faith, doesn't it? When we understand that He's good all the time, then it gives us that motivation to walk by faith. For the Lord is good. For the Lord God is a sun, and a shield to the shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them. Listen, that walk uprightly. No good thing will He withhold from them. But walk uprightly or by faith. That is Psalm 84:11. Listen, because God is good, we should repent of our ingratitude. We're celebrating our nation's birthday here this week. And obviously, there's a price to be paid for sin. And even the decisions that sometimes our political leaders that make in this country that affects all of us, you can read in the Bible that every time there's ever been a nation that's turned their back on God, there's a price to be paid for that. We need to repent of our ingratitude. And to be honest with you, we are responsible for how this nation turns. Maybe not in the direct manner that, but just listen, I say that because we've got to hold up the gospel message. And if we have failed in any way, then we have to assume some kind of responsibility for going the direction it is. God's people do. But at the same time, we need to repent of our ingratitude. We need to rest in God's goodness. Thank God for His goodness. No matter how bad sometimes things may get in your life or mine or even in our nation, God is still good. We need to rest in His goodness and then walk in God's faith. Walk in faith. Because none of us know what tomorrow holds, but He holds tomorrow, right? Walk in faith. And that's what we're to do anyway, right? These are basic things, but yet it all goes back to the goodness of God. We should never question that. And the things that happen on our watch, then you know what? We have to look to God for strength and help and guidance to get through it on a daily basis. Walk in faith. Walk in His goodness. Let's stand.